Us is Girl Stop Playing, a weekly show that empowers Black women to stop playing with their potential so they can live a life that they love. I'm Coryell, your favorite homegirl, and I'm on a mission to help Black women make the money and get the honey. You can have it all as long as you're willing to work. You're tuned in to the Girl Stop Playing podcast. I'm your favorite homegirl, Coryell, here to encourage you to stop playing with your potential and start working for what you want in life and in love. You already know that I'm bringing you the information and the conversations to help you make the money and get the honey. You can have it all as long as you are willing to work. And today, I have a working woman in the studio. Wow. We got my girl, LaRae, in the building.
Hey.
Hey, boo. Okay, so introduce yourself for the people.
Oh, I always hate the introductions, but okay. So, LaRae Funderburg, lawyer, mommy for the culture, also wellness coach. Actually, I like to say wellness practitioner.
Okay.
I love that one a lot much better. Yeah, that's like my recent baby, but that's like my coming into myself.
Yes, like coming into yourself. I feel like, look, right, yeah. I have no idea when we came in contact, what year it was, how we met, literally have no idea.
Yes.
But I feel like what I have seen from you over the last year, 18 months, has been like the butterfly, you know, like coming out of the cocoon and just this, all of you. What was the initial spark? And am I wrong when I say 12 months, 18 months? Like when?
It's been longer than that,
okay,
for sure. But as far as like our, it may have been
well,
a
when did
little
you start the wellness
that.
Part? Okay. I feel like I've seen a transition
yes.
when you started doing the wellness.
Yes, and so you're correct as far as that, as far as me like seeking wellness as a business.
Okay.
But I had been seeking wellness and like self-care, self-love, self-compassion, and just overall sense of self for some years prior to
okay.
that. And it really came to me because, you know, I was doing my thing. I was momming, I was lawyering, I was doing everything from the outside looking in that looked great. Everybody was always like, oh, you're so fabulous. And I'm like, you know, it felt good to have that like external validation, but there was something that was missing internally mm-hmm. for a very long time. And I think it wasn't until I really achieved all of the things that like people in society felt like, you got it, that I was like, this ain't it, you know. And so then I started looking. I was like on this journey of seeking. I'm like, what is it? What am I looking for? What am I missing? Why do I feel ungrateful? Because my life is
great.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, everything is great. All the boxes are checked, but there was just still this, like, emptiness. And so I did just start looking into other types of things, and I was, coaching was a thing, right? And so I used to think it was like an Instagram profession because it was like all these people were like, oh, I'm a fitness coach, I'm a finance coach, I'm a, you know, all these coaches. And I'm like, is this, what is this? And I met a life coach at an event. I had actually, an entertainment attorney by like my former trade. And so I went to this event that, was for entertainment lawyers. But one of the panelists was a coach. Mm-hmm. She was a life coach. And so while everybody's like keyed in to all the entertainment people on the panel, I'm like, when the life coach got up in there, I was like, who is this? You know, like, what is she talking? She was just speaking my language. So we ended up exchanging information. I started working with her for a little while. And then all these other things kind of started to come to me where it was like, oh, I've been dealing with just very small aspects of my life. You know what I mean? Like, oh, finances, like, oh, you can be great in that area and boom. Like, oh, as far as like your working career, you can be great in that area and boom. But then when you're talking about like the relationships you have with like your family or friends, or when you're talking about like extracurricular activities, when you're talking about spirituality, all these other things that I had never really taken time to really sit down and think about, because I had always been so like driven in the area of like, oh, let me make money, let me be
performing.
This person. Exactly. And all those other things were falling to the wayside, and I didn't realize how important those things that were falling to the wayside were. And most people don't realize it until they get to a certain level in their career with their finances, and they're like, I'm not happy. I'm empty. I wasted all of this time, all of these things. And like, for me, I'm like, I didn't have to reach the mountaintop. You know, it was like, I was getting to a certain level and I'm like, this ain't it. You know, like,
you could tell on the climb that this, I don't like where I'm going.
Exactly.
But I think, how does that happen? I think we raise our children to only focus on doing good at school. What do you want to be when you grow up? We never talk about feelings. We never talk about emotional wellness. We never talk about what makes you happy. We put kids in extracurricular activities in hopes that they get a scholarship one day.
All the time.
Not because we want them to express themselves or explore new things. It's literally very performative. So I think that our generation, we're doing it differently.
Oh, we're killing it.
We're killing it because we're being so intentional. We are taking like accountability. We're just trying to be better.
Exactly.
And our kids are gonna, you know, they're
not better for, you know, there was a generation I think before us that was better for the sake of like, I want to give my kids all the things I didn't have, right? But what they were doing was imposing all of their beliefs, all of their like shortcomings and traumas on their children. Like, now you're gonna have this, and the kid is like, I don't want that. I don't want any parts in that. But we're like, well, you're gonna have it because that's just what you're gonna do. But like, I think our generation is more of the generation of like, we're gonna look and see, like, what is it that our kids like? What are they, you know, we ask them the questions, we talk to them about all of that stuff. And even I'm like, even conversations with my mother, she's always like, you know, a kid should be in a kid's place. And I'm like, what does that mean exactly? I'm like, children are people. At the end of the day,
they have questions, feelings, emotions,
like all of the things. Like, I see it with my children every day, even when I pick them up from school. It's like, oh, well, how was your day? And even though it's almost a superficial question, because even for me personally, I'm looking for a superficial response because I'm not always tapped into like,
that's just the natural response.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Let's have this emotional conversation about your day in the car. But I still sense a pattern. You know what I mean? Like, I can see when it's like, oh, they're like fine. But there's that undertone of like, no, it wasn't fine. And so now it's like on us to be like, okay, well, what was fine about it? Or what was not fine about it? And really dig in to see like what is going on with these little people, because they definitely feel the same way in which we do. And we have been taught generation after generation to just dismiss them all the time.
Yep.
And that's so unfair because it does so many things to them, like as they get older. Like, it teaches them not to trust themselves. It teaches them to be like insecure and all of those things, because they're like, well, my opinion doesn't really matter because nobody ever really cared to ask, or even to the extent they did, they're like, whatever.
Or value my response.
Exactly.
How do you use the lesson that you had to learn the hard way, which it ain't that hard of a lesson, Lorraine. You went to law school, you were a successful lawyer, and then you like, okay, this shit ain't for me. So it's not like you had to learn and I'm sure there were some challenges.
Yes.
So I'm not trying to minimize it, but you learned these lessons by going through this experience so that hopefully your kids don't have to go through that exact same experience. So having climbed the corporate career, that so many people, society is like, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, we think that that is the epitome, right? It's all the things. So having done that and then still have to do the self-work to figure out, okay, well, who is Lorraine? What do I love? Who am I? How do you use that now to raise your children?
Whew, honestly, I coach my children.
Okay.
So coaching
you
was
into an Instagram coach.
No, not an Instagram
not
coach,
one of those.
An
okay.
official one.
Okay.
So I am nationally board certified.
Oh, for real.
Yes, and so that's what. So I didn't even know that was a thing. So when I was going through my journey of like self-care, self-love, and just like looking for things, one of the first things that really was transformative in my life was going through Queen of Fula's Rites of Passage program for Sacred Woman.
How long ago did you do that?
I did that in 2021, the summer of 2021.
I feel like that was it.
That was it.
Okay.
Then I came one year later, and she was like, you know what? they're somebody. Yes. Because before I was probably just, you know, a lawyer on social media. But then it's like, oh, a certain light starts to show. And honestly, that's what a lot of people started telling me, like, as I was going through the program and towards the end of it. And I didn't know, you know how you hear, like, you know, Deepak Chopra and, like, the gurus, they'll always be like, oh, they'll say these things that sound good. And you're like, oh, okay, it makes sense. But you don't really feel them, right? And so there were a lot of those things. And I'm like, oh, you know, for years I'm doing yoga, I'm meditating, I'm, like, lighting my crystals under the moon and, you know, like, doing
charging them up, drinking your crystal water.
Right, doing all of the things. But it wasn't until it was, like, a ritualistic thing where it was like, okay, now you're waking up at 4 o'clock every morning and you're doing a salt bath and you're praying and you're doing an offering and you're meditating on something very specific and you're, like, really, really doing the work. It was like a coursework on doing the work. I had the accountability. Mm. I had the instructors. I had other people who have gone through those journeys who were committed to having other people, like, change themselves for the better. And I felt all of that, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, and in that space, I finally felt like, like I was kind of finding a sense of belonging. So that was also a thing for me, like when I became an attorney, like I'm like, so one thing is I'm like, I come from niggas, right? And so only person in my family to like go to college, definitely the only one, no, one of my cousins went to college after me, she went to Clark too, but definitely the only one to go to law school. Me being like a scholar or, you know, an attorney or any of those things, like, I don't come from that type of family, so that's not something that they even are, like, proud of or excited about. You know what I mean? So I came from a space of, like, I'm just doing this. And, you know, hopefully it pans out. And then my family's kind of looking at me like, who does she think she is? You know, like, and so I had that backdrop, which was like a struggle. And then it was also like, because I come from that backdrop, I'm like, I don't really fool with, you know, people who are on this journey as mm-hmm, well. Mm-hmm. So I was always very like, I'm not really sure about it. And I'll tell you, honestly, and I tell people all the time because I have a very love-hate relationship with social media. It was social media that really blew up my career because I was very open and transparent and honest about who I was. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm this person, this person, this person. And I also happen to be an attorney. And people fell in love with, like, who I was outside of it and mm-hmm. was like, oh, and she's a lawyer. And so it was like, okay, I'm fooling with this. But then there was a period of my life where I think it went to my head a little bit too much because then it became so much outside validation for the fact that I was a lawyer and I really didn't identify with this person. I was like, I'm not a lawyer. This is actually just something that I do.
Did you feel like you had to keep up with this persona that people had, this expectation?
Yes, and it was exhausting because once I realized I had to keep up with it, I became one of those people. I'm a rebel too, so I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
I don't want to do it, and fuck everybody who's over here trying to get me to do it.
Yeah,
no, I'm not doing it, and it was like that became another struggle. But it was like, okay, as I'm going on this journey, and then when I went through the rites of passage journey, and I realized, too, and through that. So we went through these, like, 12 stages.
How long is it? I'm curious.
So they say it's 12 weeks, but it really lasted for, like, 5 or 6 months.
Okay.
It's 12 gateways that you go through, but because things are happening throughout the period of time, like, you end up, like, spreading
it
out.
It might not be consecutive.
Correct. Okay. Which I loved because I needed something that was going to be like locked me in for longer than 3 months. Like you're going to have to get me all the way in for a period of time for this to become something
your
that
lifestyle.
Like, exactly. Yeah. And, towards the end of it was when I really started to feel like, that's when I realized that I had started to, not that I had started to, but like, I thought I was this person who always marched to a beat of my own drum. I'm like, I do what I want whenever I want to do it. I don't care what anybody thinks, blah, blah, you know? And I was so firm on that. And then as I was like unveiling all the pieces and peeling back all the onions, I'm like, no, actually, you've actually created your whole entire life based on everybody else's expectations of you. Like, nothing that you have done in your life to date has anything to do with who you are as a person, who you want to show up in as the in the world. None of that. It was like, you literally, people were always like, oh, you're smart, you should be a lawyer. And I'm like, oh, here I am, you know, all these years later. Now I'm
But then you find yourself fighting.
Fighting.
And that's why. It's because I did not have the right intention for
exactly.
this. I'm doing this based on what other people thought I should do,
yep.
what other people wanted for me. And
yep.
then that's a woman thing, I feel like, because mm-hmm. we will literally choose a career path. You know, like, we will literally dedicate our lives to something based on what our mama said when we were 5 years old,
yep.
or based on what our friends are. You know, like, we'll literally let people convince us to do certain things. So after this rites of passage, because I've personally been curious, like, mm-hmm. we'll talk off camera, but what was, like, Lerae 2.0, like, after you emerged post the rites of passage? What was the biggest,
Ooh.
I guess, change?
It was really doing nothing. Doing nothing and being okay with doing nothing.
Ooh, that's hard. We're performative people.
Yes.
If we're not performing and achieving,
you
we're
feel
failing.
Like you ain't shit.
Yeah, you're a failure.
Yeah.
How do you do nothing, Lerae?
Oh, no, it was hard. It was hard. And it literally took, I want to say, almost a year. Because for the first 4 months, I was doing nothing, but I was still doing
Wait,
something.
So are you not supposed to do nothing? Like, explain this to me. Is the assignment, like, go home and do nothing?
No, so I can't say what the assignment is, per se. For me, on my life, I needed to do nothing so that I could figure out what
the
my
something.
Next step was
Got
going
you.
To be.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
so I knew if I continued to move in the rate that I was moving, that I would never have time to figure it out, because I would be distracted by all of the things. Like, I'm like, I can stop being a lawyer, but I can't stop being a mother. I can't stop being a daughter. I can't stop being a sister. I can't stop being a friend. Like, none of those things you can really put on the back burner. But most of the time, your careers take up everything, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the reasons you don't get to see all of the people that you know and love and all of those things. So I was like, okay, if I can take some time and space away from this thing and start putting everything else into this, and then also saving some of that time to just do nothing.
So, Lerae, I feel like when I watch shows, it's like the HGTV show when the couple shows up with the $5 million budget and they work, like, down at the factory. And it's like, well, how do y'all do that? Make it make sense. So I just feel like somebody's going to watch this and they're going to be like, she took a year off of work. I need to take some time off. I need to do nothing. How did you do nothing? You got two kids, Lerae.
It's creative. No, and it is. And so, and because people look from the outside looking in and are like, oh, no, you still maintain a certain lifestyle. And I do to a certain extent. But there are lots of ways to do what it is that you want to do. Like, I'm a huge spa person, right? I go to the spa probably like 3 or 4 times out of the week. But I have a spa membership at a place that charges me the amount that it would cost somebody else to just go into the spa one day. But
another
if you sat
thing
down
I'll need to know off camera.
Yeah, if you just sat down with the people when you went into the spa, they would tell you, like, you could get a massage today for $250, or you could get a membership for $175, get your massage, and then have access to the spa for the entire month.
So you are just working smarter and not harder.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. That's
because it's because it's not impossible. And I'm not, and I tell people all the time, I'm like, I'm not balling out of control, but I definitely spend my money where I want it to be spent.
That is what I think social media has gotten us away from. And I have even fallen victim to, not necessarily, because I'm not a materialistic person, so social media has not made me feel like I need things, mm-hmm. but it has made me even more performative. Like, I have to achieve these things and accomplish these things, because if they can do it, I got to do it too. Mm-hmm. And I think social media will have you thinking that you have to be living this luxurious life, or everybody else is living a luxurious
right.
life. And that is not the
case. And it's not the case, because nobody's going to show you their bad days. They're only showing you their highlight reels. And I'll tell you, honestly, this year, and I was pissed, not this year, this year for my taxes, because last year I was like, I was barely working and I didn't have a staff. I didn't have I didn't have people to write shit off for, nothing. And in my mind, I'm like, barely working. But I would take on the clients that were like very low maintenance and
very
good
lucrative.
Bang for my buck, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And then when it came down to tax time, my tax person is like, you don't got no expenses to write off all
this shit you all,
and I was like, hold on, we got to figure this out. Like, but it really made me realize, because I was like, you know,
one thing about mama, she is going to make sure that everyone else is taken care of before she even thinks about treating herself. So if you are looking for the perfect gift to make mom feel special this Mother's Day, make sure you check out the Mega Moisture Duo from Osea Malibu, because body care is self-care. Since 1996, Osea has been making clean, clinically proven, seaweed-infused skincare. So this Mother's Day, treat mom to the everyday spa experience she deserves. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GSPP at OseaMalibu.com. Plus, you'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code GSPP for 10% off.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What all these other years I have been working to achieve this, and maybe like I made, you know, a fraction more the years prior, but all of that was money that was not going in my pocket right. at
wow.
the end of the
so
day.
So you're doing less and making more and having
absolutely.
More time.
And having more time and more.
So do we need to do the rites of passage? How do we get here, Lorette? What we got to do?
I mean, yes. I recommend for most people to do the rites of passage. Honestly, it's not like I work with Queen Afua, and now she's actually one of my clients. Like, after going through the whole thing, and, you know, we ended up building a relationship and everything. But like, she's somebody who I'm like, you were the first person that I met who really, like, changed my life. And I meet lots of people, like, great, phenomenal people all of the time. And people ask me a lot, even in interviews, like, oh, who was somebody who inspires you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, not that people aren't great in their own rights. And I'm like, inspires me, like, that's very huge, you know what I mean? Like, inspires
me,
to do something.
Yeah.
Inspires me to be a better person. I'm like, I don't know, you know, but she was one of those people. And so, like, I forever, hands down, I'm like.
So for people who are not familiar, and I'm one of those people, okay. I'm not real familiar, but what is the rites of passage? Like, what is the purpose or the intention? What is supposed to be on the other side of it?
So she wrote a book, I think almost like over 20 years ago. It's called Sacred Woman. And so she created a rites of passage based off of the book.
To become
a sacred okay. woman. And it's really just tapping into your divine feminine energy. It's really just understanding the relationship between us as Black women, our ancestors, our, like, tapping into, like, African natural traditions, all of the things that have been, like, repurposed and sold to us as somebody else's stuff, like yoga, Reiki, like any of that, right? You're like, oh, those are the Indians who do that. And I'm like, no, that's African. Like, all of that stuff originated with us. Mm-hmm. And so being able to make that connection and to tap into it in a real way, because it's like now there's not that divide of like I'm learning somebody else's culture to like invest in it for me. You're like, no, I'm understanding actually where it originated mm-hmm. from, knowing that it originated from my people, and then being able to be like, oh, this resonates with mm-hmm. me. And for me, it was more the like the spirituality piece, because I was somebody who grew up. My mom is a Bible thumper, okay? She's, like, been rebuking me in the name of Jesus since I could ever remember, right? And so I had a very strange relationship with God, you know, because I was just like, oh, if I don't do what my mother wants me to do, then I'm going to hell, you know? And I'm like, and then all the stuff that people say, and it's like, oh, this fearing, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm trying to sign up for that, you know? Like, if this is...
I don't identify with it.
And even more than anything, I realized the part that I didn't identify with was like father, son, pure, that part. And so through that rites of passage, they talk a lot about, like, you know, the feminine is the creator, because we are the creators, right? Like, think about it. I'm like, y'all really wrote a whole book and deceived the entire universe.
Listen, Lorraine, this is the thing with the millennials, we out here getting our shit together, yeah. Okay? We are not playing with y'all. We done questioned everything.
Yes.
We done come up with our own conclusions that make sense, and then we're going to move forward and teach our children the same, because
absolutely.
So many of us grew up, I didn't grow up with a Bible thumper, but we went to church every so often. But I grew up as Christianity being the only religion that I knew. I also knew that some of that stuff did not make sense to me. Some of that stuff, it just does not make sense. And when I ask questions, nobody has the answers.
Yep.
That was not okay with me.
Yep.
And so I didn't know none of what I know now. I just knew that this don't make sense. I don't really fit in here, and I don't really believe what y'all are saying.
Yep.
But as we evolve and mature, and again, we're like tapping into these resources and these, you know, these just new ways of living. Like, we're not afraid that we're going to go to hell for learning something new or trying something new. So I love that.
No, and I feel like that's one of the most important pieces. I know it was for me. Like, I didn't know that the spirituality piece was really what I was missing when I was going on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never guessed it, because I thought spirituality and religion before were they were so inextricably linked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they're so separate. And so being able to like really understand God as like the divine and like living in me, and me being like a manifestation of God. Like, oh, like God literally created me because he wanted to, not even he, she, I say that all the time, created me because they wanted to see something very specific in this world. And when you know that you were created for a very specific purpose, regardless of if you know what that purpose is, just knowing that, like, oh, I was created for a purpose is like...
So do you feel like the year of doing nothing allowed you to discover what your purpose was?
Not discover what... Okay, yes and no. Because I'm a firm believer of purpose changes over time. I think...
You think it's seasonal?
I don't want to say seasonal, but kind of in a way, right? I think we have been sold a version of purpose in the way we've been sold versions of a lot of things, right? And so purpose is one of those things, and it's easy to sell people that, because now you can send them on this path of like, oh, you got to go find your purpose, and this is how you do it, and this is how much it's going to cost you to do it, and, you know, we are the only way you can get to your purpose, and all of these things, without people understanding and realizing that, like, because for me, purpose is learning how to live and love, like, in the present. And that is always going to change, like, day to day, right? How you live and how you love in the present is going to change as the presence is going to change. But I think people put a thing on it, like, oh, yeah, my purpose is to help 500 people to, you know. That's not your purpose, like, for real, for real. That could be a goal that's, like, in furtherance of your purpose, but at the end of the day, I think we all have the same purpose.
Which is
to just live and love and be of service to one another. Like, that's it.
Do you think that we would ever, or do you think that you could have ever gotten to that place without that period of rest? And the reason I'm asking is because most people don't get a period of rest. Most people don't ever. I had someone, it might have been on Instagram, but talking about the fact that, like, the luxury of going to jail. Because in no other period of your life do you just have nothing to do.
Exactly.
Just nothing but time. You got time to think, time to be with yourself, time to write out your big ideas. Like, we usually don't have, unless you're bedridden, we usually don't have a break from the hustle and bustle and responsibilities and the titles and the roles and responsibilities. So I'm just curious, do you think you could have gotten to this place without that rest? Or how can we get to this place?
I don't think so. Honestly, I don't think so, because I tried it on a number of levels prior to being like, you're just going to have to not do nothing. You know, like, I was trying to convince myself in a number of ways. Like, the idea was like, do nothing, maybe just cut back on some distractions, do less work, you know, hire some help, you know, like, all of the things that are like, oh, okay. But no, honestly, I don't think so. And I think more people need to know and learn and understand that you actually have more time and opportunity to do nothing than you ever thought. And
at 4 a.m., though, Lorraine, I got to get up at 4. I got to get up at 4.
I mean, sometimes that's what it takes.
That's what it is.
Sometimes that's what it takes.
Give it to me. Just tell me.
That's how I started, though. That's what I'm telling you. That's how I started. And then 4 a.m. turned into all day. And so I started with that. And that was a very, not a small mindset, but it was a shift in mindset, right? Mm-hmm. And it made me feel like, oh my God, like, I do love this. I do love waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, my phone's not ringing, nobody's texting me, my kids aren't up, nobody's emailing me, I don't have anything to do but to worry about myself. But imagine having that for
you were homeschooling
the entire
your
day.
Kids though, Lorraine.
I was.
How?
It was a struggle.
It was a struggle.
For my son, not so much, because he's very scholastic, likes to learn all the things. The little one, the little girl.
That girl, though. It always be that girl.
I'm telling you. I was like, oh, she got to go to school. I would still homeschool my son today and be like, you going to school. We taking you to school every morning. Like,
early. We going to be there.
He can stay home, but you got to go to school. But maybe a year is not feasible for everyone. Like, I was, because I'm like you, right? I'm not materialistic. I don't buy a lot of things. I spend money on experiences. I'm not trying to experience everything every month. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But a lot of people waste money on stuff that they don't even realize they're wasting money on.
This
you know,
true.
Like, whether it's like food, even gas. I'm like, if you made a real good plan about like how you're going to structure your day, you're not even wasting a lot of money on gas. Like, you do have to be strategic to a certain amount if you're like, hey, I'm going to cut out the majority of my income.
Yeah. See, and that's why I had to have you answer that part of it, because again, you will see somebody doing something on social media or on a podcast and say, that's what I need. I just need to take a break.
Right.
Sis.
It's not for you.
It might, maybe not in this season.
Right.
Or maybe it's not a full-time break. Maybe it's a, you're going to take a couple days out of the week and do a break. You know, like, make it make sense for you.
Right.
But don't try to go out here and do what you've been seeing somebody else doing
on
social media.
No, absolutely not. And have, like, a support system. You know what I mean? To a certain degree. Like, I mean, support always helps, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you're married, then you probably have a little bit more leeway. That wasn't the case for me. But I definitely, like I said, I'm like, I'm very aware of, like, I've been budgeting for a long time. Not budgeting, but expensing. I know what my expenses are every month. And so I know I know what I have to bring in regardless. And I'm like, hey, if we take care of that at a bare minimum, then we're good. We're good. And most of the time you don't need as much as you think that you do. Like, a lot of us get caught up into, and I was guilty of that. Like, I was somebody who was like, for years I was broke, and you would have never known I was broke, or I never felt like I was broke. It wasn't until I started making money that I started being like this money Nazi, you know? And then I was just like, oh no, I gotta save this, hold this, and I can't do this, that, and the third. And that really bothered me, because I was like, before, you were like, any way the wind blows, you know what I mean? And you always manage. And so I think that's another piece of it, is that people need to not be so, like, we need money for sure, and account for what it is that you need. But outside of that, don't be so, like, aggressive about
that's nothing about it.
Because we live in a world where the universe is abundant, and God is always going to provide for you, especially if you're doing what it is that you're supposed to be doing at the end of the day. So just walk in that knowing and that faith, and I'm like, I mean, shit, I survived.
Look, God be coming through, but baby, he be on 285, like, cutting it close, okay, to get to your girl. I be
and
like,
sometimes that might be the case. And you know what?
I was almost on the ground.
You learn a little lesson in that
you
process.
Sure do, baby.
But you
never,
and that's what I think about all the time. I literally think about all the time. Like, how many times have you failed yourself? How many times have you been under a bridge and living in a
tent? I have not been under that bridge yet.
Never. Exactly.
This is true.
Exactly. And so, exactly. And so you have to know and trust yourself to a certain degree that I'm not going to lead myself astray, regardless. I have enough sense, enough wherewithal, enough responsibilities, and enough love for myself that I'm not about to put myself in a horrible situation. And the second it starts to feel like that, we going to reevaluate this plan.
So, wellness practitioner Lorae, you're spreading all of this, giving it up for the people.
Yes.
The people want some of this, right? They're looking at you. I mean, the jacket alone got them like, oh, who is she? Okay. But what does your style of wellness look like? Because you sent me like a sound bowl thing that I didn't make, but I really want to come. So I want to know about sound bowl. But what are the different, are they modalities? Is that what they're called?
That's look exactly at me knowing what they stuff. Call you. Do
what are the different modalities that you practice?
So for me, it would be movement, which would be mainly yoga.
Okay.
I'm huge into the sound therapy.
Is this what you practice or what you do for other people?
Both.
Both, okay.
Both. So, yes, both. Reiki master. I'm a Reiki master, certified Reiki master. I'm also a certified sound bowl therapist.
Okay.
But I love the sound therapy, even if it's just like the crystal sound bowls. That's what I invited you to, to come in
so
and hear
so there's different
that.
Kind of sound therapy.
Yes. And so the other sound bowls that I do are the Tibetan sound bowls, and those are harmonic sound and touch therapy. And so you actually place those in certain places of the body, and so you get to actually feel the vibration when you're playing those. Girl, unmatched.
Talk about what's the benefit of sound therapy? Because these are not things that we grew up seeing people do or talking about.
Right. And so sound therapy is like everything is frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Like us talking, us existing, everything around is all sound, right? And so the way to actually get to a place of healing the cells and the frequency and healing like on an internal level is by frequency, energetically. And so that's why people do Reiki, because that's energetic medicine. But actual sound therapy is also because it's the sound waves. And so when you're doing the sounds at certain frequencies, it matches to certain of your chakras, and it heals those at the different levels. And with the touch therapy, it's like it's internal to a certain degree. So it's not just you're hearing it, and it's not just a vibration. Yeah, you're feeling it more internally. And so it's good for not only just like relaxation and meditation, but there are people who have had like actual health issues that over time have been able to be healed by having like sound therapy, harmonic sound and touch therapy and things like that. So I'm a huge proponent of the sound therapy for sure. Like,
so
that's
how often, like, what's
thing.
The recommendation? Is it like yoga, like a yoga
no,
practice?
No. So you don't have to do it every day. Okay. Like, unless you're a sound therapist yourself and you want to buy a bowl and just, you know, play one occasionally throughout the day, or, you know.
Is that the little thing with the mallet?
So that's one of them. Yes.
But
so,
I mean, this ain't right. It don't heal nothing. It's just a little.
No, it's not that it doesn't. It's just, it's small. And those are more for decoration.
That's what
right?
I feel like.
Yes.
I'm just playing
and
around.
So, because those are the Tibetan bowls.
Okay.
But you buy the bigger ones, and those are the ones that are used for actual the sound touch therapy.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, those are more, because you can't even really play those that well. And no. I was very confused about it for a while, because I think I bought a sound bowl small set, and I was like, what? This
it ain't making
work.
Sound.
I'm like,
yeah.
This doesn't work. But I went and did a certification, and they're like, no, you need the big bowls, and this is what you actually use them for, more for the vibration as opposed
Got
to
it.
The sound. The crystal is for the sound, for sure. But, yeah, it's just another way of healing, because all healing really is done on a cellular level when you're talking about holistic healing. When we're dealing with modern medicine, they're not trying to heal anything. They're just trying to cure your symptoms, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh, okay, we'll just let you do this and you'll be okay for a period of time. Like, that's it. But if you want to actually get to the root of what your problem is and get to it, then those types of therapies are definitely the ones. And they're just part of the holistic.
So how do people, like, work with you in this way? Can they book, like, a sound session?
Yes.
Or
okay. Absolutely.
Well, somebody want to book one. It's me. But look in this camera for the people watching and tell them how they can find you online and where to book you.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram at Holistic Lawyer Mommy. That's Holistic, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, Lawyer Mommy. Or on my website, elevatelegally.com. You can just, I do have a list of services up there, but if you don't see anything up there, because I don't think I have the sound therapy up there, because that's only for people who are local, but you can definitely reach me on my contact form and let me know that that's what you're looking for sure.
And I'll keep y'all posted. I'll let you know how my little sound session goes, because I've been saying I'm going to do it, and it keeps coming back around, so I feel like it's time.
Yes, we could definitely
do
it.
I'm going to tap in. I'm going to tap in, get some cellular healing, y'all. I'll let y'all know how it goes. I'm so glad you came by.
I'm so happy.
You got to come back. We didn't even talk about no weed smoking.
Girl,
none of
the real thing.
None of the real shit. Okay, we're going to talk about it on the next episode, okay? Right. She's going to come on back, y'all. Make sure you follow my girl. Tap in, okay? Share this episode with a friend, and I'll catch you next week.
Peace.
So if you made it this far, I just know you loved that episode. Well, what you did not know is that we recorded it right here in ATL at Elevate Studios. Yes, your girl has her own studio, y'all, and it's not just for me. I'm opening it up for you too. So if you have a podcast, if you are a vlogger, a YouTuber, or a content creator, and you are looking for a professional studio to record your content, or you want to hire me and my team to fully produce your content, make sure you check out the show notes below or log on to elevateagency.com.